Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 6, day 3 of the study of 1 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Kings 14, 1 through 20. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. During our study of 1 Kings, I want to invite you to join with me at the beginning of each day with a specific prayer topic. On Wednesdays, I want to start praying for the United States of America. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your spirit over the United States. Lord, would you raise up laborers to speak your word, to speak your truth, your gospel throughout this nation, God. We ask that you would you bring a great awakening, God. Would you forgive our sins and would you heal our land and bring a great awakening in this nation? And Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today, as always, from the NIV. This is 1 Kings 14, verse 1. At that time, Abijah, son of Jeroboam, became ill. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Go disguise yourself so that you won't be recognized as the wife of Jeroboam. Then go to Shiloh. Ahijah the prophet is there, the one who told me I would be king over this people. Take 10 loaves of bread with you, some cakes and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." So Jeroboam's wife did what he said and went to Ahijah's house in Shiloh. Now, isn't this strange? Jeroboam has had all of this time to inquire of Ahijah. He's been living in Shiloh this whole time. He's in the territory that Jeroboam is ruling over. I mean, this is the same prophet who's basically anointed him king over Israel. He had to go and he had to hide out in Egypt for a while. And then he finally came back and he led the rebellion and he's now king over Israel. And almost immediately he decided, you know, hey, I can't continue this on unless I lead the people away from the one true God. From the God who sent a prophet to anoint me king. I mean, it's madness what he did. And all this time, he's done everything in his power to get the people to turn away from God and follow false gods so that they will trust in him for their political needs, for their safety needs, that he will fight their battles for them. This is tragically crazy what Jeroboam has done. And now that his son is dying, now he wants to go seek Ahijah the prophet. Now he wants to seek the Lord and find out what can be done. And what's interesting, Jeroboam doesn't even seem like he wants Ahijah to intercede for him. He just wants to know. He knows he's a prophet. He knows he'll tell you. He says he'll tell you what's going to happen to the boy. And so it's very bizarre because it's almost like go ask him to pray for the boy and heal him. He doesn't even ask for that. I mean, how tragic. Why not repent? Why not repent and ask this great man of God, this prophet, to pray for your son that he be healed? And that's not what Jeroboam does. He just wants to know. This story, this whole chapter makes me sad. Continue on in verse 4. Now Ahijah could not see. His sight was gone because of his age. But the Lord had told Ahijah, "Jeroboam's wife is coming to you about her son, for he is ill, and you are to give her such and such an answer. When she arrives, she will pretend to be someone else." Now understand, Jeroboam didn't want her to go straight to Ahijah because Jeroboam knows what he's done. Jeroboam is he's not kind of like, well, I guess I've kind of, you know, Lord, forgive me for, I guess I kind of went off the path a little bit. That's not what Jeroboam's done. Jeroboam has been very intentional about what he's done. He has intentionally asked people to start worshiping foreign false gods and turn their hearts away from the one true God. He knows he's on the outs with the one true God and his prophet. So he sends this woman, his poor wife, to go to Ahijah in disguise, thinking that that's going to make a difference. Verse 6. So when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps at the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why this pretense? I have been sent to you with bad news." I mean, imagine what she must be like. She's gone through all this rigmarole to go see a blind prophet in disguise. And as soon as he hears her footsteps, she says nothing. And he says, hey, welcome, wife of Jeroboam. Come on in. What's the deal? I mean, that must have been shocking to say the least, for this woman that definitely does not believe in the one true God to encounter him so quickly. Verse 7, go tell Jeroboam that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I raised you up from among the people and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, but you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made for yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have aroused my anger and turned your back on me. Because of this, I am going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as one burns up dung until it is all gone. Dogs will eat those who belong to Jeroboam who die in the city, and the birds will feed on those who die in the country. The Lord has spoken. Not a good word. Not a good word at all. I think that's all pretty self-explanatory. That stands alone. Verse 12, as for you, go back home. When you set foot in your city, the boy will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only one belonging to Jeroboam who will be buried, because he is the only one in the house of Jeroboam in whom the Lord, the God of Israel, has found anything good. So this is a tragic moment. This poor mother is being told that the only decent son, the only person in your entire house whom the Lord has found anything good in, is this very young boy. And the Lord is going to take his life, almost sounding like, presumably, like the Lord actually loves this child so much that he is not going to allow him to be brought up under the auspices of Jeroboam and in the land of Israel. The Lord loves this child, and so he's going to take him to be with himself now so that he is not corrupted by Jeroboam. How tragic. How sad. How terribly tragic. Verse 14, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will cut off the family of Jeroboam. Even now, this is beginning to happen, and the Lord will strike Israel so that it will be like a reed swaying in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land, and he will give to their ancestors and scatter them beyond the Euphrates River, because they aroused the Lord's anger by making Asherah poles. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam has committed and has caused Israel to commit. Then Jeroboam's wife got up and left and went to Tirzah. As soon as she stepped over the threshold of the house, the boy died. They buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, as the Lord had said through his servant, the prophet Ahijah. The other events of Jeroboam's reign, his wars and how he ruled, are written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel. He reigned for 22 years and then rested with his ancestors, and Nadab, his son, succeeded him as king. What a tragic, tragic life that Jeroboam lived. The Lord gave him everything, and he shoved it all away. He counted it worthless. He just burned it all up. What a tragic, tragic life. May we learn from Jeroboam, as the Lord gives us opportunities all the time. We need to see the Lord in every good thing that the Lord is doing in our lives, and we need to see the Lord in every negative thing. Even the things that we know that the enemy is bringing against us, the Lord, they don't happen unless the Lord allows them to. And the enemy, he will come against us. Don't blame the Lord for it, for sure. But the enemy will come against us. But the Lord allows it he's making us like gold refined by the fire. He's refining us. He's removing everything that hinders love when negative things come against us, if we will let our hearts be softened by the chastening of the Lord. And by the blessings of the Lord, we should give thanks in all the things that he gives us. We should follow him and seek him and serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're so prone to wander away like Rehoboam. But beware, beware if you're like Jeroboam, one who intentionally leads people away. We'll all do things in our lifetime that hurt other people and cause their hearts to become embittered and grow cold. We all do that to one another. We all have to deal with those things. But woe to the people who intentionally try and lead people away. Woe to the people who destroy other people because of their own desire for self-importance, their own self-esteem issues. Woe to people who cut people down and cause them to stumble because of some ambition or something they have in their heart. We're all going to do it on accident, not meaning to, but woe to those who do it on purpose. The Lord is not happy with that. He's not pleased with that. There's always forgiveness if we repent. Please keep in your heart, the Christian life is not about repenting one time. It's not about accepting Jesus because he loves us and it's devoid of sin. We will all sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need to continue to seek him and repent day by day, year by year, month by month. Come before the Lord and tell him how sorry you are. Repent before the Lord. He will forgive us. I've heard it said, I love thinking about things this way. Is the Lord, one day we're going to stand before him. And even those of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will get into heaven, but we'll stand before him and he will weigh our actions, our deeds, and he will burn up every even idle word that we speak. He will burn it up. It will be sins that he will chastise us for on that day. He'll burn them up on that one day and forever they'll be gone. But we will stand in regret that day when we see those things. But the Lord cannot, he will not burn up those things that we have repented for on earth. Because he puts those sins as far as the east is from the west. They are covered under his blood and they will never be remembered again. So we can meet God on that day and have nothing but jewels and crowns for him to bestow on us and no hay and stubble to be burned up. But it means that we have to have a lifestyle and an attitude of repentance now. May that be so about us. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and we'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.